I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Visibility and control since upgrading from QuickBooks to NetSuite.
Yeah, sounds like it's time for me to switch to NetSuite.
Over 27,000 businesses already use NetSuite. For the new year, NetSuite has a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/radar. Head to netsuite.com/radar for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses, netsuite.com/radar.
The NFL playoffs are in full gear, and everyone can get in on the action with a risk-free bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. It's Bulldog here, and it doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. All customers get up to $10 back if your same-game parlay doesn't win. Same-game parlays let you combine multiple bets from one matchup for a big payout. You can combine bets on the money line, point spread, player stats, and much more. FanDuel's the market leader. America's number one sportsbook is easy to use and easy to place your bet. Already have an account? Just place your risk-free same-game parlay on any conference championship round game to qualify. New customers join today with the promo code Bulldog to get your risk-free bet. That's promo code Bulldog on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
21 plus and present in New York. Bonuses issued as non-withdrawable. Site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Lots of things being thrown out there as ideas. How about camping for one? Maybe not today. Colton RV is the name to know in Western New York and has been for decades. When you want to get into camping, they're celebrating their 60th year in business, family owned here in Western New York, official RV sponsor of the Bills. Customers in lots of different places. Some have traveled great distances to do business with Colton RV. Maybe you'll be next. They're excited about Winnebagos right now at Colton RV. A couple of new models, one called the Echo, that apparently is very interesting. Also, the Gretsch Strada, setting a new standard for Class B motorhomes luxury. Mercedes chassis, all the amenities, really nice. Lots more, too. Colton RV, North Tonawanda Orchard Park, online at ColtonRV.com.
Get in the game with Admar Supply. If you're in construction, Admar is your number one source for construction equipment. Rent or buy, they have the equipment you need when you need it. Telehandlers, power buggies, track loaders, and so much more. Looking for better options and superior service from your construction supply business? Consider Admar. Still family owned with locations across New York, including Buffalo. Visit AdmarSupply.com to learn more.
Sports Radio 550 WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo, 98.5 FM.
An Odyssey station.
Broadcasting live from the Dunn Tire Studios. Dunn Tire. It's a done deal. This is Western New York sports giant. WGR Sports Radio 550. You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Monday, the official voice of the Buffalo Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. This is a Paddock Chevrolet Sports Update.
Locker room cleanout day for the Buffalo Bills. Less than 24 hours after their season ended in Kansas City for the second year in a row, Josh Allen, Deion Dawkins, Dawson Knox, and many others met with the media this afternoon. You can hear all of them on demand at WGR550.com and the Odyssey app. One thing that could come out of yesterday's game is a change to the overtime rules. Ian Rappaport reports that the NFL's competition committee is likely to look at rule proposals this offseason. The Chiefs proposed to changed the overtime rules in 2019, but it was shot down. Now attention turns to who will the Bills lose and the coaching staff. Offensive coordinator Brian Daboll will have his second interview with former assistant GM Joe Shane and the New York Giants tomorrow afternoon. around the NFL, other coaching news in the league, rumors over the last few days that Sean Payton may have coached his final game for the New Orleans Saints. Saints owner Gail Benson said, "Who knows," today when asked if Payton will be the Saints coach in 2022. Payton's the second longest tenured head coach in the NFL. He's been in New Orleans since 2006. The Broncos will conduct a second head coach interview with Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. Hackett's reportedly one of the three finalists for the Denver job with Rams OC Kevin O'Connell and Cowboys DC Dan Quinn. No Tom Brady retirement today, but in Tampa, Rob Gronkowski did say he is open to playing next season even if Brady retires. That's your Paddock Chevrolet Sports Update. Visit paddockchevrolet.com for the best in pre-owned inventory. I'm Joe DiBiase for WGR Sports Radio 550.
Eric Wood's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Jim Steakout, celebrating 40 years of mouth-watering hoagies and chicken finger subs. And by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Sports fans, welcome to the show. The time, 4:01. Hi, I'm Milt Ellis, the voice of the Auk. Let's arm wrestle.
Sports Radio.
Please note the following scratches in your program.
Mike Shope.
Penalty to number 29, Mike Shope. 2 minutes for being a jerk. Shope, 2 minutes for being a jerk. The time, 4:21.
And the Bulldog.
Who let the dogs out? Woof, 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 woof.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
A little dab will do ya.
The Chiefs proposed a change to the overtime rules in 2019, you say? Know why? They lost the AFC Championship that way.
Yep.
Overtime versus New England. Patriots win the toss. Touchdown. Game over.
Pretty sure I saw Andy Reid quoted today as, or maybe it was from last night, as saying he's awfully glad that that rule change got shot down.
Funny thing, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the way most people are, like, about politics, right? Like, if it's not at your front door, you want one thing, but once it comes to your house, maybe not. Eric Wood with us on the West Her Hotline. Eric, I don't know if you know this, and maybe you're already all set, but you probably want to have, like, sort of a what they should do in overtime take, you know, just handy. Because this year, that's us. It's going to be our cause, maybe.
Yeah, is that going to be the theme of the offseason? What rule changes need to be proposed to make it, I don't want to say more fair, but just not come the whole season essentially come down to a coin toss? Because I think everyone was in agreement that whatever team got the ball in overtime was likely going to march down the field on an extremely tired defense and score a touchdown.
So, Eric, just what was it like being there? I mean, you're at all the games, I know, but this one was really special.
It was definitely special. It was probably the largest roller coaster of emotions I've ever had as a spectator for an event. And I understand I was working the event as well, calling the game. But, I mean, just there was just so much emotion in it. And just as fun as this ride has been, you get the fans back in the stands this year. You have that experience of the wild card round in Orchard Park. And with the Bengals winning Saturday, you knew that if the Bills could win, the AFC Championship game would be coming through Orchard Park. They'd likely be a touchdown or more favorite over the Bengals, just like the Chiefs are currently. So there was just so much on the line. And then you add in the fact that it was just an unbelievable atmosphere there in Kansas City. And then Josh played so well. Mahomes played so well. And you score that touch. You come back from 9 down in the fourth quarter, and you take the lead. And the way they did it was so dramatic. And then for it to come crashing down. And man, I'll tell you what, that last 13 seconds heading into overtime, that was deflating. And then the way that they moved down the field with ease in overtime, man, just absolutely crushing. I've talked to a number of coaches and players and people in the front office up there, and my message has been, I know how I feel. I cannot imagine if I was in the locker room at this moment.
You know, I'd like you to do your best here, Eric, to tell us what you would think it would have been like, or even if you had any kind of similar experience. I mean, this game was very much one of a kind, so I don't want to say I doubt that you had a similar experience while you were playing, but take us to Allen and the offense and the team on the sidelines at 1:54, right? There's a lot of time left. Everyone knows it. I was thinking during that drive, stay in bounds every time anybody went out of bounds, right? And then it turns out you score there. They come right down and put the Tyreek Hill 64-yarder on top of you. And now, thank God, there was time left because the Bills come down and do it again. But to be there in that moment, having scored to take the lead with a minute 54 to go, but knowing Mahomes is coming, like, what is that like on the sidelines?
I've obviously never played in the magnitude of that. I only played in one playoff game throughout my time in Buffalo, and that was that 10-3 loss. That was far from offenses marching up and down the field in a football game. So I don't necessarily know that feeling. I have been on sidelines of games where they ended up being in a shootout, and you just know you got to stay ready. And when you're on the sideline in those moments, I go back to this guy. His name's Jason Selk. He's a phenomenal sports psychologist. He's a psychologist in general. He works with a lot of athletes, and he talks about being relentless, solution focused. And so when you're on the sideline, you're not worried about the bad outcomes. You're presenting situations, whether it's the coaches to you or you with your teammates. Hey, if this happens, this is what we're going to do. If this happens, this is what we're going to do. Because you can't get caught up in the emotions of the game, and you can't be worried about stuff that you can't control out on the field. So when you heard Andy Reid talking to Patrick Mahomes, like, hey, just go do it again. And I'm sure there were similar conversations happening on the Bills sideline. Like, no matter what happens, we just got to go score again.
Eric, the last 13 seconds of the fourth quarter, you know, fans are sad, but then they're also mad, right? Like, there was such high potential, such great potential for this team, and the game was so close to having been won. The last 13 seconds in three different instances, you know, wow. Like, there is a bad feeling out here because of what happened on those three plays. One being the kickoff, where, you know, maybe a shorter kick, they run a little clock off and you're in a better position. Then you have the two passes. How did you feel as it was happening? I admit, like, I was on team kick it deep. I'm going to win this game anyway. Just don't kick it out of bounds. So I'll tell you that. The defense, though, on the following two plays almost don't make sense to us. So what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. And it all obviously happened so fast because there was only 13 seconds of game clock there. But it all happened so fast that it was hard to digest, especially as you're trying to make the call for the game, what should and shouldn't be happening. As I got time to digest it, it's so easy now to say, hey, you know, squib it or pooch it. But, you know, you got Mecole Hardman back there. He's a very dangerous returner. Heck, when you're sending the kickoff unit on the field, maybe you're thinking they're going to stick Tyreek Hill back there. And so kicking out of the back of the end zone, maybe not the worst case scenario, although at no time is going to come off the clock. When you look at what they should do on the next two plays, I mean, it's just hard to say. I don't know if they were thinking that there's no way that they could kind of just rally in bounds and get down into a realistic field goal range. But, you know, in those situations, if you sit on the outside and hold guys or pass interfere them, you don't want to pass interfere them because then they're going to get a spot penalty there. But you can hold guys on the outside, whatever you need to do. You can slow them up and draw some time off the clock that way.
Yeah, I think, you know, the coverages are one thing on those two plays. This pertains to coverage, but it's not necessarily how do I keep Travis Kelce from catching the ball. Chipping him at the line, even like just having a defensive end, someone just slow him up the littlest bit. We had a guy in the first segment of the show today, Eric, call, or the second segment of the show today, call and point out how close Hughes is to getting a sack on that play. And if Mahomes has to hold the ball for just a pause longer, and maybe someone chipping Kelce would have disrupted that enough to make him hold that ball, and we got a different outcome. I think there's like multiple mistakes, it feels like, in how they played those last two pass plays.
Yeah, there's multiple mistakes because of the result, obviously. And, man, I it's like this team, each year they grow in experience, they grow in situational awareness, and I just feel like each year they're taking another step. I thought this was the step. You know, as they scored with 13 seconds left, I thought, wow, this is the year. We're doing this. But you get another just sobering lesson at the end of this game on clock management and everything else.
Yeah, like I think, you know, the offseason starts now, and it's not easy. It won't be easy with this team, Eric, to figure out what should change. They might lose a coordinator or two. But the big guys are all going to be back, and that's a good thing. I mean, they were the number one team in the NFL for point differential, all the things, all the examples there were out there for why it was so felt so right believing in them this year. But, yeah, so, I mean, we have a lot to rehash, whether it's the end of this game last night or the Jacksonville game, you know, with a different result than you're at home. I mean, you can drive yourself crazy, I guess, with all that because you can't change it. But as far as the team itself, I don't know right now like what you really want to do differently.
Yeah, I'll touch on that. And I don't think you do a whole lot differently. You assume that, you know, another year, maturation, experience with Josh Allen, he's gotten better in certain areas each and every year. Statistically, maybe not the same season as the 2020 season this year, but I think we saw a lot of areas of growth from Josh throughout the season, especially in the playoffs, obviously. And so when you consider that, you like the direction of the quarterback position. You're not necessarily saying we need to upgrade anywhere, but you always understand that there's going to be moves that be made, and you're always trying to get better at a bunch of different positions. But I think when you look back at this season, you're not necessarily saying, man, if only we had this player or this player. You're looking back at this season and saying, how do we not flop at Jacksonville? How do we win that game at Tennessee? How do we come away with that victory in overtime against the Bucks? Find those games where you host that game yesterday and you host throughout the playoffs, because that's a totally different animal if that game's in Orchard Park yesterday.
Yeah, you know, the Allen part of this, Eric, like once we climb through the sadness, Allen's performance is and I think you can already see it now and talk about it now, but it's just the other stuff right now is sort of overwhelming the conversation, I think, and rightly so. You know, there's a lot to sift through, but boy, I already alluded to it, right? To score the go-ahead touchdown with 1:54 to go and have a huge play come back and dunk on you and to get back out on the field and go another 75 yards is, I mean, he was almost flawless, if not flawless, in these playoffs. What are we talking about? No turnovers? All the touchdowns? I mean, the guy threw 9 touchdowns in 2 playoff games. I mean, I think Football America should be sad they're not going to get to see him keep playing with the way he's been playing.
And I think a lot of America is. You know, I've gotten so many calls and texts in the last day or so in regards to Josh's performance last night. And, you know, it's gotten to the point where Josh has taken all that competitiveness, his tangibles, his size, his speed, his arm strength. He's taken all of that, and now he's that elite quarterback you knew he could be. The highs were high throughout his first couple years, but he was last in the NFL in completion percentage, way too many turnovers. Well, he's harnessed all of that. He's still Josh Allen. He has not changed. I say he hasn't changed his game from the sense that there's times where you watch him do things and you're like, oh, my gosh, don't get hurt. Don't do anything crazy. Oh, my gosh, there's another touchdown. It's like he's harnessed all of that, I feel like, and putting it all together to where he's still emotional out there. He's still going to run someone over. He's still going to get fired up and celebrate with his teammates. But the low lights are just diminishing game after game. And the growth for me that I've seen these last 2 weeks in the playoffs especially, because last year I know the receiving corps came in banged up to the playoffs, but the passing game wasn't great last year in the playoffs. And then you go 0-1 in the playoffs the year before and you lose at Houston. Well, the playoffs ramps up another notch. I mean, how many quarterbacks have you seen look good in the preseason and then the regular season they stink? Or regular season to postseason? It's a step up in speed and intensity, atmosphere each time you advance, and to see that growth in Josh in the playoffs this year is something that has me really excited for next year. And you said once you get past the sadness, I don't think I'm past the sadness yet. This is gonna be a hard weekend to watch because I'm from Cincinnati. I mean, I got more calls and text messages after the Bengals won saying we'll see you in Buffalo next weekend, and I know this is selfish and it's way bigger than me, but selfishly, man, I am just extremely bummed out.
Yeah, you're not going to get blamed from us for that. I mean, you know, you know the you know the experience of playing on the field and having your season end. I mean, okay, it was 10-3, but that was the playoffs, and you I'm sure you had lots of emotions then. So what I do is
especially because I felt like we should have won that game in Jacksonville. I thought we made more mistakes than necessarily them making plays on us. And Blake Bortles runs for an ungodly amount of yards to get them to win. They really do nothing on offense except for Blake Bortles scrambles, and they end up getting the win. Well, then they beat Pittsburgh the following week and then had New England on the ropes. So you're sitting there thinking, man, like I kind of came into the playoffs, like happy we got there. And then you watch it all unfold, and you're like, well, shoot, we could have been there.
Right. Well, it cuts.
Yeah, well, that.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I think it can cut both ways. You know, again, just being a fan, but the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. You again, like, this was the thing last year. I thought we got somewhere where you have to figure out, what are you going to do about that? The season started this year, week one, and Eric, I mean, a lot of us were thinking, you better win, because the one seed is like where it's at. The Chiefs were the two, yes, but home field, you said it already. And then if the Bengals win, maybe you can go, okay, well, I shouldn't assume a Super Bowl here. I remember doing this for Carolina versus Edmonton Bulldog in the Cup, where, like, well, if Edmonton smokes them, I don't have to go through the rest of my life thinking that that should have been ours. But, you know, it goes both ways. 99 Bills is another one. Tennessee goes to the Super Bowl. I don't know. Hey, you bring up Brian Daboll most weeks or many weeks. If we don't first, what do you think, Eric? Does he go?
I think he has aspirations of being a head coach, or else he wouldn't have taken all the interviews last year and this year. I think he'll probably get an opportunity this year. You see the success that this Bills team has had. You see a guy that has helped Josh Allen really turn into the player he is, even though it's a group effort, and a lot of the credit goes to Josh Allen in this situation. The offensive coordinator and the guy who's working with him each and every day is going to get credit too. I saw he's going back to the Giants for a second interview, and Joe Shane is obviously over with the Giants now, and it would almost be alarming to me if Joe didn't bring him over there. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like that's kind of the way things are trending. And unless there was, you know, some other tie that Joe felt more comfortable or with another candidate, whatever it may be, I would just want there to be more of an explanation other than, you know, we didn't hire Brian, just because they had been around each other for so long. But in my opinion, Brian Daboll is about as good as it gets in the NFL, extremely experienced throughout the league. The players love him. I mean, I was on the field pregame with Scott Chandler yesterday. Scott and Daboll were together in New England, I believe, for a couple years. Mm-hmm. I mean, the biggest hug you've ever seen, dapping each other up. I mean, guys love Brian Daboll. They like playing for him. And so, that being said, it would surprise me if he was back next year.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it, too. That I did see today that they were bringing Dan Quinn, the Cowboy defensive coordinator, in also for a second interview. So, you know, maybe it's not all sealed up, but it feels like it would be surprising if the Bills assistant GM being hired as the new GM in New York didn't bring the Bills offensive coordinator, who certainly has earned it, in to be the coach at this point. It feels like that to me too.
Yeah. And this is on a totally separate subject, but not a separate subject, but kind of going in a different direction. I'm waiting for these coordinators to start just getting broke off by organizations. Like, but Pegulis going to Brian Daboll and saying, well, you know, if you don't love this Giants opportunity, we're actually willing to pay you five times your salary right now to stay. Because these coordinators have so much influence on the offense, and oftentimes as a head coach, it becomes really hard to manage the game, call plays. Is he really going to be the one in New York that he's doing the day-to-day with Daniel Jones or whoever they want to develop at quarterback, and they're saying Brian Daboll's our guy? If you're the head coach, it becomes really difficult to be in those meetings all the time and spend all your time in that way. You're kind of the CEO role, you know, managing the entire deal. And so I'm waiting for the time where these coordinators start making some serious money and teams just pay them to stay around. Similar to what New England's doing with Josh McDaniels. I just don't know how that's worked if Josh has had other opportunities besides that Indy deal he turned down.
Well, I really like how you're talking. I think you're saying this, but I want to say it's exclusive to offense. I mean, for me, offense is the name of the game, and it's why I would always want a team to hire an offensive coach, because then you don't get stuck there. What you can do then, to your point about delegating other things or calling plays and how it can be overwhelming, is you have someone else for the stuff that we talk about in here all the time, which is like game decisions. You don't have to be in charge of that. It's not necessarily your area of expertise, but the offensive coordinator might mean more to the organization than anybody except the quarterback. I think I would say that here. And so if he goes, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And so then you're left with the decision. Do you go in a different direction and hire outside, someone from the outside, or do you promote from within because you want to run that same offense and you want everybody to just keep growing within the same offense? You know, and is it practical that someone can call the game in a similar demeanor as Brian Daboll and do all the game planning as well, which is where a lot of the work is going to go into. What you see on Sunday is in that initial game planning at the beginning of the week.
Very good, Eric. Well, here we are at the end of another season. We, I know I speak for Bulldog, you know, enjoy our friendship and our conversations a lot. Always look forward to them. And, you know, we'll keep in touch, right? Like something happens, we'll call you. We don't want to, you got to be careful though. You can overdo that.
Yeah. But, let's catch up off air sometime soon. And
right.
Then, anytime y'all want me, I enjoy these afternoon times. It's generally a walk and getting out of the house for a few. So, I enjoy these as well. It was another fun year. I sure wish we were doing it again next week. And, it's going to be a tough one to watch this week. I feel like such a bum. All day I've been doing media stuff, and I'm just, like, so down in the dumps. I can't even hardly put on my analyst cap. And that's one of the best things about being the Bills radio analyst is that I can do that. I can be a fan. It's okay. I grew up listening to Dave Lapham hoot and holler throughout the broadcast calling Bengals games, and he's still doing it. So if I ever seem too much like a fan on the radio, there's guys worse than me.
You know, okay.
No explanation necessary on my end here on that, Eric. Thanks. Right. And we hope to catch up with you, you know, off air and on the air too, man. Thanks again.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Eric Wood's appearance with us all year brought to you by Jim's Steakout, celebrating 40 years of mouthwatering hoagies and chicken finger subs, and by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Okay. No need to be too descriptive. We'll look for your calls next and talk more about last night. 803-0550. That's after the update. Welcome back, everybody. There's no real way to perhaps do it justice. Like, another tough blow. I mean, oh my God, right? Tough blow for the fans. It's another all-time
gut-wrenching, heartbreaking.
Yeah.
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 That's what it was.
That's what it was. We owe those Kansas City guys more food. It did cross my mind last night, 13 seconds. Barbecue.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Why don't I ever bet like the Jets people? Why am I always betting with Kansas City? Is Leberfeld up? Is he game for like sort of a food bet? Can we bet the Texans or something? Although the Alex Gold told me the Texans guys didn't pay him.
Oh, boy.
That's tough.
Texans beat the Bills. That's bad. The Texans beat the Bills in the playoffs, and they went to Kansas City and lost. They had a food bet with Houston. They never got the food. I just told them, we're not Houston.
What would the Houston food even be? I feel like you got to have a destination that's known for food. Steak?
Steak. Texas beef. Yeah, I mean, I think probably. But
guess it doesn't matter.
Right. No, right.
I thought Bulldog said cake. That would be funny.
A cake. Houston is well known as the cake capital of the Southwest. Yeah. No.
What should we send Kansas City? Maybe we should send them a cake this year. 803-0550 to reach us. Here's Dave with us. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. This is why I'm mad about the game. I think people are misfocused, if you will, on the last 13 seconds. I'm going to leave that out. We played the identical game as last year. Identical. Hill and Kelce had 300 yards receiving between them last year on 24 catches. This year, they had 250 yards receiving on 20 catches. Conversely, our top two guys, 16 total yards, Diggs and Dawson Knox. Singletary had 26 yards rushing last night, 17 yards in the game last year. We used the exact same plan and made no adjustments, not even in the game, but from year to year. It didn't work last year, and we did the same thing. So,
except they scored 36 points last night. They scored 36 points last night.
Josh played out of his mind, but our two top guys were shut down. How come we can't even limit the other guys? We can't even limit Kelce at all in any fashion.
That's a good point.
We defended one pass to him.
I know, but Gabriel Davis's game has to count in this equation somehow. All right, so Diggs had seven yards. Davis had 201.
But they ran outside of Mahomes rushing. They ran for 110 yards on us. We had 26 out of Singletary, our leading rusher.
Doesn't bother me.
It's the same exact box score from year to year, almost identical.
Except for the 36 points and the 201 yards and four touchdowns that Gabriel Davis had. You can't omit that. You cannot omit that from this analysis. That doesn't work for me. How can you omit a 201 record-setting touchdown receiving performance from an analysis and say it's the same as last year? They didn't learn anything.
Well, fair enough. Thank you, Dave. Like, I do want to leave some room for defensively. Like, I think about this less about adjustments or, you know, schemes, because some of that stuff, I mean, I don't even notice it. I get that from other people sometimes. But we know that the Bills hammered pass rush in the draft to beat Kansas City. Like, that was well documented. That there were both sides of the ball. Dable's game plan for the first meeting, which was very successful. And, you know, I don't want to be snarky today. I mean, I'm more just bummed out. But where did it get you? Right? Like, okay, pass rush, sure. Don't draft another wide receiver. We got plenty of those. Okay, sure. I mean, you can only pick one. I'm not trying to be snarky about it. It's just that I never wanted that move. You know, get another corner. Well, that could have helped, actually. Who knows? It's all second guessing or hindsight. I don't know. You were never going to sack Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. I said that 100 times. Like, you were never going to do that. So they did, whether the box scores are identical or not. Ultimately, Hill and Kelce with Mahomes got them beat last year, and they got them beat last night. And so, fail, right? I mean, fail. They scored 42 points. McDermott, Frazier, no Trey White. That's different. But, I mean, you really beefed up, didn't you?
Yeah.
All-pro safeties, you really beefed up. Now what? How do you beat Kansas City? The answer was always and is as much the answer as ever, outscore them. Come on, you and I have known that forever.
Yep. Go ahead.
You did. Sorry. I mean, you did. And then you did it and lost anyway. Yep. Like that.
Right.
That was always. I go on Kansas City radio, the food guys. What do you think about Travis Kelce? See what he did last year. Here's what I think about Travis Kelce. Scored in the 30s. Because you're gonna. And now you've got a world where AFC teams more and more, including the Bills, love their quarterback and they're super young. And there's no reason in a vacuum to think that they can't win big with their guy. Name how many teams that's true about. You got the quarterback position solved. Kansas City, Buffalo, Cincinnati will think this. LA Chargers will think this.
Baltimore
has thought this. I mean, I don't even know. Houston once thought this.
I don't know. Yeah, right.
That's weird now.
Someone's going to get Deshaun Watson, I suppose.
Okay. Right. Okay, but only one is going to win in a given year. Only one is going to win, and there'll be more coming. Trevor Lawrence, who knows? So, like,
That is why this is, I think, I mean, we'll see. Right now it feels like this anger and sadness, you know, whichever you prefer, I think is going to linger for me because of that point. Like, you were 13 seconds away from taking Mahomes down in his place. And the way it's set up, you were going to get to play at home against the Bengals, who maybe are just like last year's Bills, which is, you know, credit to them. They got there. They're explosive and they're exciting. But are they really ready to go to the Super Bowl? They're going to go to Kansas City or Buffalo and win on the road in the AFC title game? Like, it was the red carpet rolled out for you. Allen delivered that for you, and 13 seconds undid it. And it's, you know, maybe it'll be, you know, it'll fall right one of these years, next year, 2 years from now, who knows. But, man, with this group, with as talented as they were and as healthy as they were, the season-ending injuries notwithstanding, because those are impactful, I know, but they had nobody on the injury report playing in, what was this, what game of the year?
Divisional.
Was this their 19th game of the year?
19th.
And, I mean, it's just, you just never know when the best opportunity is going to pass you by. And this was a great one. It is like I started very early today thinking about 05-06 and Carolina and Edmonton and Buffalo and staph infections and all of that. Like, you know, the next year the Sabres came back and had a better regular season. But their best look at it was 06. And they never got real close again.
Well, you still want to think, I'm not putting words in your mouth, I think you'd agree, though, you still want to think this is sustainable. The Allen Allen contract makes that much tougher. And so that's the new era the Bills are entering, is figuring out how to win without that financial advantage, so to speak. That is not a sure thing. But, you know, the Chiefs, they're still the best. That's as good as the Bills were, and as much as they did to try to pass this one particular threshold, they were not able to do it. Pat is next. Hi, Pat.
Hi, guys. The thing that's confusing me the most about the 13 seconds was, okay, fine, they kick into the end zone. I presume because they're worried about field position. They want to push them back farther. And that's okay. And they chose field position over the time that would have elapsed. Then the very next play, they seem to be to flip it all the way around, where they're not concerned about field position anymore. They're just willing to let time roll off. So I can't imagine being concerned about field position on the kickoff, and then the very next play just obviously giving them 20 yards.
Yeah, okay. I suppose you're making a logical connection there, or a point about those two things.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you want the head coach to be the one, especially on the kickoff, right? You have a defensive coordinator who's done a great job. McDermott is here because of his acumen when it comes to coaching defense. So be it. Frazier, right? Like that. I'm not going to bang the drum for, like, the McDermott has to just grab hold of that situation when they're lining up on defense when the Chiefs take over on that possession. You could, but I'm not thinking that way. And I don't even know what exactly their thing is or how that works, but I'll pass on it. The kickoff, the head coach. I mean,
yeah.
Is he calling plays? The head coach, that's why so many times in football, the head coach makes what we all see as the wrong call. When it comes to punting, when it comes to when to go forward or field goals, or even this is kind of like that. This is a strategy moment. And now I guess they missed it, right? I mean, I guess they missed it. They should win the game anyway.
Yep, they should. But, I mean, 4 or 5 seconds rolling off the clock or more on the kickoff would have could have changed everything. And please, please, don't hit me with, well, you know, they'd be worried about the return. I've got guys on this team that are here chiefly, multiple guys that are here chiefly for their special teams coverage ability. Tywan Jones, Matakevich, these guys are here, and I, you know, I don't know, maybe most teams, maybe more teams than not have guys that aren't real depth contributors at their listed position, but they're there because they're to be trusted to cover kicks. So, you know, I know anything can happen, and if they had kicked it in play and Kansas City got a 50-yard return out of it, you know, someone's waiting out there to say, well, you'd be criticizing them for kicking it deep and letting them return it. I hope I would be honest and tell you what I wanted them to do when it happened. And all I know is I saw that ball heading for the end zone, and I just thought, why did you do that?
And I was
cover
fine with
the
it.
Kick.
I have to say every time, because people are listening, right? That's what we think. I would have done the same thing on the kickoff. Because the possibility of return, they gave up a big punt return. I didn't know if Tyreek Hill was deep, but it wasn't Tyreek Hill. The point about the clock is the right point, and okay. I am still in great shape if there's a touchback.
Yes.
I don't want to kick it out of bounds. I don't want to get cute, as we always say. So let's play. You're 25. I'll give you two plays to get a field goal off. Go for it. Just, you know, we gave them those passes to their best players. Timeout here, and we'll talk some more. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. All right, so, I mean, bad weekend. The Bills' season ends in one of those games that we'll be talking about forever. I mentioned before, not that you should care, but I lost all my bets. Betting is allowed, and I lost them all. Bills, a lot of Bills. I doubled down on them when they got behind in the game. Thought I was in great shape. And, by the way, one more. The meat raffle.
Oh, the meat raffle. I missed the meat raffle.
Joe, how are your steaks?
Well, they're in the freezer. So
okay, they sound good.
Yeah, they'll be good, I'm sure.
I'm telling you,
they
look great. I'm walking out of there Saturday night. I was ready to eat one frozen. Everybody won, but not us. My daughter won a little computer thing, but in a basket.
Yeah,
meat.
No meat?
A smart speaker.
Zip, nothing.
Empty-handed from the meat raffle.
$90 on tickets.
And meanwhile, like right across from you is Adam.
Oh my God!
More than anybody in that entire room.
Adam is a big guy, and he couldn't lift all.
No, I had to help bring things to his car.
Right. He won a Marvel basket. He won a Bills basket. He won like steaks on
cologne.
Top of steaks.
He won
cologne Bulldog. He won cologne.
Cologne at a meat.
He won cologne.
He won cologne. That's how good it was for him.
Surf and turf. Maybe he got two.
I would have given him the cologne.
He got his hands on everything.
Twice he walked up when his number was called, and before he got back to his seat, he had to go back up.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Did this person invest considerably more than you did?
Definitely
or
not.
Same exact amount as I did, and we came. We got something at least. We came away with four good-looking New York strip steaks. But he
very good.
He like quintupled that.
We'll talk about it some more in the future when we have more time to sort of be off subject. Like Joe's girlfriend was there, and my wife loved this. Was it Louis? Somebody offered Joe a meat trade, and she just like jumped in. She's like, "No trading." And I'm like, "Is this like specific to Joe? I mean, he is sneaky Joe. He's a big trader. If I mention any NFL player, I got an offer in my inbox in a fantasy league in 5 minutes." But she's like, "No trading." So that was interesting too.
She wants me to take up my February fix strategy, which is I'm not allowed to make trades.
Right, you're not allowed
because I'm good in that league.
Yes, I'm sure that was her logic. So fun night, but damn. I mean, some hot dogs maybe? No, nothing for me. Nothing for Mike.
Yeah. Nothing like a slab of bacon?
Not even crumbs.
Not even one piece of bacon.
Not even one piece of meat. Exactly. Back to the Bills and their crushing loss. After sports, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.